4. Two buildings on the outskirts had been burned. The rest of the town appeared dusty but intact. They passed an abandoned livery stable on the left, a building that might have been a market on the right, and then they were in the town proper, such as it was. There were perhaps a dozen rickety buildings standing on either side of the road. Alleys ran between some of them. The other road, this one a dirt track mostly overgrown with plains grass, ran northeast to southwest. Susanna looked at its northeast arm and thought once there were barges on the river, and somewhere down that road there was a landing and probably another shacky little town, mostly saloons and cribs built up around it. That was the last point of trade before the barges went on down to the city. The wagons came through this place, going to that place, and then back again. How long ago was that? She didn't know, but a long time from the look of this place. Somewhere a rusty hinge squalled monotonously. Somewhere else one shutter clapped lonesomely to and fro in the plain's wind. There were hitching rails, most of them broken, in front of the buildings. Once there had been board sidewalks, but now most of the boards were gone and grass grew up through the holes where they had been. The signs on the buildings were faded, but some were still readable, written in a bastardized form of English, which was, she supposed, what Roland called the low speech. "Food and grain," one said, and she guessed that might mean feed and grain. On the false front next to it, below a crude drawing of a plains buffalo lying in the grass, were the words rest, eat, drink. Under the sign, bat-wing doors hung crookedly, moving a little in the wind. "Is that a saloon?" She didn't know exactly why she was whispering, only that she couldn't have spoken in a normal tone of voice. It would have been like playing Clinch Mountain Breakdown on the banjo at a funeral. "It was," Roland said. He didn't whisper, but his voice was low-pitched and thoughtful. Jake was walking close by his side, looking around nervously. Behind them, Oi had closed up his distance to 10 yards. He trotted quickly, head swinging from side to side like a pendulum as he examined the buildings. Now Susanna began to feel it, that sensation of being watched. It was exactly as Roland had said it would be, a feeling sunshine had been replaced by shade. "There are people, aren't there?" she whispered. Roland nodded. Standing on the northeast corner of the crossroads was a building with another sign she recognized. "Hostel," it said, and "Cots." Except for a church with a tilted steeple up ahead, it was the tallest building in town, 3 stories. She glanced up in time to see a white blur, surely a face, draw away from one of the glassless windows. Suddenly, she wanted to get out of here. Roland was setting a slow, deliberate pace, however, and she supposed she knew why. Hurrying might give the watchers the impression that they were scared and that they could be taken. All the same... At the crossroads, the intersecting streets widened out, creating a town square which had been overrun by grass and weeds. In the center was an eroded stone marker. Above it, a metal box hung on a sagging length of rusty cable. Roland, with Jake by his side, walked toward the marker. Eddie pushed Susanna's chair after. Grass whispered in its spokes, and the wind tickled a lock of hair against her cheek. Further along the street, the shutter banged and the hinge squealed. She shivered and brushed the hair away. "I wish he'd hurry up," Eddie said in a low voice. "This place gives me the creeps." Susanna nodded. She looked around the square, and again she could almost see how it must have been on market day, the sidewalks thronged with people, a few of them town ladies with their baskets over their arms, most of them wagoners and roughly dressed bargemen. She did not know why she was so sure of the barges and bargemen, but she was. The wagons passing through the town square, the ones on the unpaved road raising choking clouds of yellow dust as the drivers flogged their cart horses, oxen, they were oxen, along. She could see those carts, dusty swatches of canvas tied down over bales of cloth on some and pyramids of tarred barrels on others. Could see the oxen, double-yoked and straining patiently, flicking their ears at the flies buzzing around their huge heads. Could hear voices and laughter and the piano in the saloon pounding out a lively tune like Buffalo Gals or Darlin' Katie. "It's as if I lived here in another life," she thought. The gunslinger bent over the inscription on the marker. "Great Road," he read. "Lud, 160 wheels."
"Wheels?"
Jake asked. "An old form of measurement." "Have you heard of Lud?" Eddie asked. "Perhaps," the gunslinger said, "when I was very small.